Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later, wherever you get your podcasts. It's all good on this freezing Tuesday. I don't know about you guys, but I'm cold.
Yeah. I can tell, and you're stuttering a little bit.
I am.
Is that related to the cold? Oh,
no, it's unrelated. I have a stutter. I have. You guys can't see it because it's below here, but I'm all wrapped up in a blanket right below.
Your transformation into an old man is complete. You have a blanket on
or
your lap.
Or Professor X. Okay, maybe it's like
sort of old. Also, not famously young.
All right, fair enough. Maybe the Vulture, huh? What about that?
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Yeah. He turned his blanket into wings.
Yeah, exactly. In that famous Amazing Spider-Man story. Well, listen, guys, we have a great show for you. We're going to warm you up with some hot comic book talk.
Oh, there we go.
Starting off with our first guest, he is one of the creators behind ODB, A Lyrical Ruckus in the City, which came out... Well, it's out now from Oni Press. They got an event coming up next week we're going to chat about. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Robinson. Chris, welcome. Hello.
Hey,
guys. How are you? Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Ben. Thank you for coming out. This project is so cool. It came out, I believe, in November of last year. And it's you and a bunch of other creators. Forgive me if I'm framing this the wrong way, but telling stories in the world of ODB is how I describe it, kind of. Like inspired by, and go ahead. You're sort of nodding like, well, you're wrong.
No, that's close enough, honestly. It's, you know, in the world, not of ODB, but like, you know, inspired by, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. It's, you know, it's not a biography. It's not telling... you know, stories that happen to him for real. Like, you know, there's like a pirate ship in like the first couple of pages. So like, these are not real events of his life or anything. But we wanted to just, you know, embrace the chaos of ODB. Like if you guys are familiar with ODB or not, but like, he's a very chaotic guy in terms, but like in a fun way. Right.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to like live that, embrace that. And, there's five different stories, and they run the gamut of genres and all types of stuff. So, yeah.
Now, outside of the sort of chaotic nature of ODB, is that what drew you to him as the featured star here?
I mean, it wasn't, I was approached with the project. So like, it wasn't my, I wasn't struck by ODB lightning or anything.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. But I was going to say, you have a pretty impactful story here in the book that sort of, at least the way that it's framed, maybe I read it wrong in the back matter, but it seems like a lot of this was framed around your story. Like it's sort of spreading out from there.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean,
well, I wouldn't say that.
That's an interesting read. It's an anthology. I don't know. Like we're burying the lead, but like it's, you know, five different stories that are all told by, different folks, different writers, different artists. They all have a very different look and emotion and tone to them. Right. I don't think of mine as being like the anchor story. I've done a lot of anthologies. Like we're here to talk about ODB, but like if you look at my comics I've done in the past, like tons and tons of anthologies. I think this is like maybe the best, the most well balanced. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know. I would not personally say I am the anchor story, but also maybe I'm just, you know, I'm too
sharing.
Well,
yeah, I'm sharing the wealth here. So
you sure. got caught off. You were going to tell us how you were approached. Like, what was the pitch to you? Like, hey, do you love Wu-Tang? You got stories? Like, how did it go?
100%. It was, you know, the good folks at Oni Press, you know, were familiar that I have done lots of, you know, anthology stories around music or musicians or that type of thing. A lot of, you know, back at when I was a Marvel editor and a long time ago, I did like the whole hip hop variant program, if you remember that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was fun. Those variant covers were awesome.
They lit the shops on fire for a time. It was very cool.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like it's part of my brand, I guess, to like combine music and comics in different ways. And they said, hey, we're doing we're doing ODB as a graphic novel. The folks who have the license, Four Screens Management, who works very closely with his estate, his family, like his wife and kids, basically, they have a vision, and you know, you're very good at like, you know, pulling out these visions. So like we started from there and we just worked backwards into, you know, what does it mean? Like, what is ODB? What does ODB feel like, essentially, rather than like, you know, nice. he was born on this day and died on this day and that type of stuff. Right. Like it was, we wanted to go beyond that, you know?
Well, what does he feel like then? I mean, I get a sense of it from having read the book, but for anybody yeah. listening or watching the show, what's your take on that?
Oh man, it's fun. It's all over the place. Like I said, chaos, fun. He's a lover. He's a fighter. He's, you know, kung fu movies. He's, you know, kaiju attacks, like all types of, just all types of, you know, running the gamut of like, you know, 70s, 80s inspirations. Like if you've listened to his music, but if you've also seen like his music videos, they you know, grab from like blaxploitation influences, that type of thing. So it's like, how do we do everything? Which is kind of a lot to ask.
Yeah.
In a graphic novel. But I feel like we did it in a pretty well, you know, pretty well. Like there's a romance story like on the screen now. You're paging through a literal, like, I fell in love with a DJ romance story.
Yeah.
Which is very fun and cool. And the art is incredible.
Great.
Great.
Love that.
Absolutely. And that's Felipe Sobrero. I was reaching for the artist name. And yeah, it's just an incredible like mix of stuff. There's a dance battle with robots in one story. There's like a straight up like Tales from the Crypt dark horror story done by Manhouse, which, you know, if you're familiar with his art, he's like a very you know, well loved horror artist.
How do you land with that level of balance? Because it's hard to touch all those genres and have them sort of hold the, you know, it's not three stories, but hold up the tripod from, you yeah. know, you want the legs as far away as possible. I feel like a lot of anthologies either aren't built for that or just don't hit it, or they're like, yeah. we end up leaning too much one way. This, I feels like it really is that balance.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is where you find out I'm a bad editor, because I think the answer to your question is like, accidentally, right?
That had yeah, the best
like, by accident. It was. I don't know. Like, I would love to say that, like, I had, you know, like a spreadsheet where I was like making X's and making sure it all fit.
Lie to us a little. You can lie. There's no fact check here. It's an era of lying. Let's do this.
I wish I was a better liar. I'm not as good on the lying part. But like, you know, I do have to go back to. So, you know, the basis of everything, I guess it's really balanced because we start from like a really good base. So the folks at Four Screen obviously have they know the license. They know ODB very well. So that's mm-hmm. that's a good way to keep, you know, your head on straight. And then Ike Reed and David Gordon, who were one of the early co-writers, came in with a premise of, okay, well, let's break it down based on the tenets of hip hop. So if you look at the book, there are five tenets. It's, you know, MCing, which is rapping, DJing, graffiti, breakdancing. Did I say that one already? And knowledge. So those are the five tenets of hip hop. And there's five stories. So each one is sort of coded to one of those things.
There it is. Yeah. That's
awesome. And then also they had the vision of like, hey, let's not, you know, in going back to like, they understand ODB very well. They knew that trying to do, you know, all crime stories or something would not work out. Like trying to do all superhero stories or whatever would not work out. So it's like, that's why you get one of this, one of that, all the grab bag, right?
There's also a nod to the five boroughs in one of the stories as well. So keeping on the five theme.
Part of the five also too is we move around each borough. This is not a spoiler. This is actually what makes it very cool. But like each borough in this universe, in this book, it essentially, like, I mean, you know, for the comic book fans who are definitely watching this, right? Like, if you remember the you know, Avengers incursions thing, like, imagine the incursions, but each, instead of worlds colliding, it's different boroughs colliding. So it's a borough where, you know, AI is prevalent. There's a borough where, you know, a corporate takeover has happened. Where there's a borough where there are ghosts walking around, that type of thing. So it's sort of baked in from the jump. Like, you're able to do whatever, you know, as you're going, right?
Pete, the boroughs are the five, like, different areas.
Sorry, guys. Yeah,
in New York. Pete doesn't live in New York. Live in New York, but Pete doesn't know.
I have Marvel brain. I just assume everyone knows New York, and that's where it's everything happens.
We mostly.
Pete, and we're referring to New York City, by the way, not the state, just so you're aware.
Yeah, and it's like, you know how you have cornfields,
Chris,
or whatever,
I'm
Pete.
Sorry. It's like different fields. This is just stuff that has nothing to do with you, Chris. I hope you're all right.
How did you break it up by boroughs? I mean, maybe it was just happenstance, like you were saying earlier, but like your stories of the Bronx, if I recall correctly, how did you choose the Bronx?
What happened there? I think on that one, it was because the other ones are taken. So my story, even though, like, my story conceptually had, my story, they, Four Screens had wanted to do this like superhero type story from the jump, but like, since I was also editing the book, like, I put that work to the side and I worked on the other stories first. We put the other stories together with the other writers, and then when it came down to it, it was like, okay, what's the last, you know, what's the left on
what's
the table?
Left,
and it was,
you're the big brother of the group. You got to take on the scraps. You got to be the trailblazer.
Wait, were you going to say maybe it was more Manhattan focused, your story?
No, I think you know, if we had done it reversed, like,
I don't know what I'm talking.
You're trying. You keep trying to guess what he's thinking.
What
I'm like,
you
Alex,
trying to do, Alex.
You're not hidden. It's not your lucky night. Let him say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let him talk.
No,
I think trying to say is no. You
if
like
we were
Manhattan
starting,
the most.
If we were starting from jump with that story, maybe we might have said start with it in Brooklyn, right? Because ODB is very Brooklyn and ODB go together, you know, Brooklyn Zoo, like, so we might have started better, but that we had already placed a different, you know, concept there. So it was like, okay, moving on to the next one.
You're talking about anthologies being a little bit of your bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And do you want to keep doing that? Or you're like, I want to tell longer stories now, or I want to facilitate bigger things.
Yeah, sure. No, that's an interesting question. Why was it a thing? Why was it a staple for me? Well, I was like I said, I mentioned I was a Marvel editor for a long time, and you only get a certain amount of books to do, but I really liked working like a maniac. So I was like, how do I make the meager, you know, the few books I'm allowed to do on my own bigger and more involved? How do I make them harder for myself? And that's by turning every book into five books, right? Or five stories or whatever, you know what I mean? That type of thing. So that was like, that's why, you know, if you look at you know, not to send people on a rabbit hunt, but like if you look at a lot of the books I edit, there's always a backup. There's always, you know, it's always getting split into an anthology, whatever it is, because I was trying to like make more hay with like, you know, a very small piece of the pie.
And is that to get more people involved? Is it just for you, like, oh, now I can do these two things here as opposed to just the one?
It's all of that. It's because I wanted to do more. And it's also like I got to know like five times more writers and artists than, you know, other people who I was working with at the same time, because, you know what I mean? So I was just like an insane, you know, glutton for work person. So, you know, I think I'm older and more tired now. So like I probably, you know, I want to do fewer anthologies. And also, in fact, I won an Eisner last year. So I'm actually sort of trying
congrats.
To learn. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm trying to sort of like, that seems like a good place to stop with the editing thing. So like, yeah. I'm trying to do more writing of stuff I don't edit at the same time.
Yeah. If you don't mind, what'd you win it for?
I won it for a book. It was the category was best archival comic for a book called All Negro Comics, the 75th anniversary edition. And it reprints the first black comic by black creators with black characters. Like it was like the first black comic of history, essentially, or in American history, at least. It's sort of like this very unknown, not many people know about it thing. And it's like very hard to find, you know, there's only like, you know, 10 copies in the world or whatever. And they're like, right. you know, 1.5 slabs, you know what I mean? Like they're, sure. It was just hard to read. So I was like, how do I make this super available in like,
smart,
you know, elementary school libraries basically.
Yeah.
So we did.
That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a great project. I'm like very happy with how it turned out. And
to interrupt you, but just to ask more about that, how did you recreate it? Like, given that you have only the 1.5 slabs, how did you get it to a place where it was printable?
Yeah,
did you have to go back in time and get the original, or
that would have been easier. That would have been easier. I can't even, you know. Again, as an editor, you rely on much more talented friends. And so we had a scan, like a bad scan that someone had done, you know, when they found, you know, they found one of these damaged, beat up copies. And we had a bad, you know, scan of that. And I gave it to a friend of mine, Tony Washington, who's like an incredibly talented colorist. He's like, you know, an early Wildstorm colorist, which like, you know,
oh, cool.
kicked off wow. digital coloring, essentially.
Yeah.
And so he recolored, but really it's like, you know, he took what was there and, you know, livened it up, fixed damage spots, things like that. And he blew it up to, you know, a printable version, essentially.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons that you're here, since this book did come out in November, is there is a talk, a gathering of the creators happening next week. I just wanted to check, and I should have asked this before we were on air. It is going to be in West Hollywood. Is it still happening? And is everybody okay?
You know, I hope everyone's okay. No one's called me to cancel.
Okay.
But it is at Book Soup, and Book Soup is still standing. So I think it's a go. If we show up and it's next Monday night. If we all show up and there's nothing, if it's not happening, we'll like take over the parking lot or something. I don't know.
All right. Nice, well, that's very ODB, I guess. Again, it's going to be Monday, January 27th at 7 p.m. at Book Soup, which is 8818 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. So what can folks expect from that? What are the plans if Book Soup is in fact standing?
It'll be myself and it'll be Jason Pierre, who's one of the other writers and also a TV writer. So he'll have, you know, much more exciting things to talk about as well. And then the good folks at Four Screens Management will be there, and we'll probably, you know, look at one of the stories more in depth, or maybe both of our stories more in depth. And the fun part will be like taking questions. Like we're there to take questions and talk about the project and talk about, you know, our favorite ODB songs, like whatever, you know, whatever you guys want to do for an hour, we'll do.
Cool. And do you, obviously he had a lot of songs. Are there any plans for a sequel anthology, or like you said, are you kind of like anthologies on the back mirror now?
I don't know. I think there's definitely, it's rich. Like there's definitely enough there that you could do a whole, a sequel book. I'll leave that up to, you know, the sales and Oni and Four Screens, you know, but you know, I'd do another one with them if they wanted to do it. Sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's
Chris.
Awesome.
Anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
Let's see. Oh, you know, we spoke about it very briefly, but I'm more of a writer these days. And one of the things that I'm, I do a lot of Kickstarters. And so my next book on Kickstarter is called Commander in Chains. It's about a president who is framed for murder. Very exciting. You know, if you liked the movie Air Force One, this is sort of like an Air Force One, but you know, a comic book, I guess, instead of a movie. But yeah, that's my next thing. And yeah, just if you're familiar with Kickstarter, if not, check it out. A lot of cool things out there. But you know, search my name, Chris Robinson, and follow me. And I'm doing that. I'm doing, you know, tons of other stuff out there. And yeah, it's comics are so much fun. Love them. Yeah.
Agreed.
We agree. Chris, great. Thank you so much for coming on. Congrats on the book.
And yeah.
Good luck next Monday. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. All
right, bye. Later, man.
All right. Once again, that was Chris Robinson. The book is called ODB, A Lyrical Ruckus in the City. It's out now from Oni Press.
That's fun, man.
Just very fun book.
Just the deets on the gig. Again, that's going to be Monday, January 27th at 7 p.m. at Book Soup, 8818 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. If you are in the area, go check it out for a fun time.
It's a great cover too, cool design, you know, with the subway kind of for the ODB.
Really fun. I will say, not me of course, but if you don't know about ODB, you will still enjoy this book. Not me.
What a lesson. No,
if
you knew.
You,
yeah, you're right. A big Wu-Tang
head. But if you don't know, I love Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang's for the kids, right, Pete?
Yeah. That's what Stray Bullet said.
Yep, I read it in the comments.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a**hole and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Now, unfortunately, our other guest, I just wanted to give him a shout out. Ben Kahn isn't here. I'm not 100% sure why. We'll try to track him down. Maybe he'll show up later in the show. But I do want to give a little plug before we move on for his book, Mr. Muffin's Defender of the Stars. It is an adorable all ages book. It's in stores tomorrow from Oni Press, written by Ben Kahn, art by Giorgio Brooks. It's very, very cute. Definitely.
It's beautiful and it's a great story. And
I have a lot of questions about where Ben encountered the Mr. Muffins in his life.
Yeah, I mean, because corgi life is real for him. You know what I mean?
Yes, I misgendered it first. My bad. But yeah, there you go. Definitely check that out. And we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Oops.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. It can be about absolutely anything, and we'll get to it. But before we do, let's talk about what we're drinking tonight. I will mention Stray Bullet, Brett Macris.
Stray Bullies?
had a drink, which is a hot cocoa because it is snowing in New Orleans right
we
now.
We got out just in time.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It's a winter wonderland. It is wild.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, the photos of everywhere. Bourbon Street, Frenchman Street down there is pretty crazy.
Yeah. But what are you guys drinking? Pete, I can't even begin to guess what you're drinking.
Oh, you can't even?
I can't even.
Wow. I don't have a garage, but I have garage beer.
There we go.
Wow. I think that should be illegal. That's just
Oh,
me.
Wow. You don't think a carport counts?
Yeah. You need carport beer. Yeah, that's some fancy shit.
Yeah, go Buffalo, bro.
Go Buffalo, go Bills. Drinking the official beer of upstate New York, even though it's made in Canada.
It does make sense, but it does if you're from
there. But it does when it hits your mouth. And I paid extra for the bottles because it's better.
All right, flex it us. That's right. It's a bottle.
I mean, I'm just saying, just trying to give you the whole vibe. It's better out of a bottle. That's just the way we do it.
I agree.
We got a question here from Stray Bullet. Now that you have a five course tasting menu during the live show, is it weird that you don't have it now?
You know what, Stray? Yes, it is. And I don't appreciate this lack of very tasty food landing in my hand.
Yeah. Stray Bullet, I don't know if you know this, but my lifestyle went from when we were with you to now back to where it normally is. And it sucks down here. You know what I mean? I don't get amazing food all the time, so it blows. It's life sucks without you, man.
Oh my God! Wow,
that's so sweet.
There's a strong campaign to get Pete to move to New Orleans, and
I really think you should.
Alex is pushing it so hard.
I talked about it so many times to Justin privately.
Oh, I mean, you said it to him a bunch of times.
I also said it to you. Yeah, you would love it though, Pete. You'd be perfect.
There's no question that I would love it. It's
you would have the best time. You would be
the jalapenos.
Like, you would 100%. There's the jalapenos, that's it. You would 100% be everybody's Uncle Pete. That's what they would 100% call you, and they'd be like, "Uncle Pete, here comes Uncle Pete." Even like old guys who are older than you, they'd be like, "That's Uncle Pete."
Sweet. That's a reason move. You know what I mean?
Everybody would be buying you drinks and
the New Orleans Uncle.
Oh, it'd be great. You'd be covered in beads all the time. Your hats would just get bigger and bigger and bigger and crazier.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You'd be the guy like on a parade float. Exactly. You'd be getting into crime. You'd become a crime lord.
It'd be dangerous. Awesome.
Yeah, doing a ton of cocaine. Get shot down on a gator boat, probably.
Yeah, the original powdered sugar is cocaine. For your beignets.
That's how they used to make them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's why they're so popular.
Schreckler says, when has someone talked to you about one of your podcasts without knowing you were the host? Never. I don't know. Has that ever happened to either of you?
Not really. But I will say, talking about doing this podcast and then when someone actually looks it up and then they're impressed is sort of a close version of that. The other dads in my kids' school, I was like, I do this podcast about comic books. They slowly admitted that they were into comics. And then they were like, a week later, like, hey, I listened to that podcast. You guys talk to a lot of, like, big-time comic people. I was like, yes, I'm not some regular podcaster. I've been doing it for 18 years. I'm an original. I'm an Ridge podcaster.
On that note, I don't have proof of this necessarily other than the guy who said this, but apparently comic book podcasting is 20 years old at this point. Didn't start podcasting until 2011. We started the show in 2006. Is that right? Yes.
When we started it?
Yeah.
No idea. Yeah. Something I mean, 18 like years. We're coming up on year 19.
Back at that New York Times article.
I got to look back on that. But my point being, like, we were right off the cusp there with, hey, I've got a brilliant idea. What if three guys talked about comics?
Yeah, exactly. But we're still standing. Yeah. Sitting. Anyway, we're still sitting. We got blankets on our laps. Yeah, exactly. Look at you. Wow. Alex, that's also an old man looking blank.
To kind of answer this question a little bit, I think my favorite, one of my favorite moments from the New Orleans visit is having a nerd off with people who don't know how well we know comics. Like, that was fun, you know, like,
and winning. They gave up and had to leave the city.
The city.
It was funny because, like, these people were like, oh, you're nerds too, and kind of we had this nerd circle going, and then it was just like, oh, you guys have no idea how trouble you are. My crew rolls deep in the nerddom. Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. We were ready for any question. It was
we look like cool jocks, but we
wanted
actually
me to join their trivia team. I was like, maybe I will. I don't know. Maybe I could be your Uncle Alex.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Alex, you would thrive in the Big Easy.
Definitely not. Nat Townsend says, I stopped reading X-Men after the Krakoa era. Which X books you've been enjoying should I read to catch up? Great question.
Nope. No,
we are a couple of months into From the Ashes. So I think we got enough hindsight to talk about what's working.
Yeah. I mean, Uncanny X-Men came out strong, swinging. And then the last couple issues have been a little, we had the crossover, have been a little bit stranger, I feel like. But that book is still great. I enjoy that. NYX is one that started off sort of, I was like, I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but I've really liked the growth of that book as well.
I kind of went in the opposite direction with NYX. I really liked the first couple of issues, and past two I've been okay with. The one that I really like, Exceptional X-Men, I think is really good. You guys seem maybe not quite as hot on that, but
it's true.
I don't know. It just sort of like...
The Storm book is insanely great.
Storm is Storm. Yes,
Chris Robinson gives a shout out to the Cable book. That also was enjoyable.
Also enjoying that.
Yeah, it's great stuff. But yeah, Cable Storm is definitely a must read. Obviously, all three of us can agree on that. Yeah. One thing that I think they're doing nicely is like, they are having an array of different books that feel different. So even if one isn't hitting or five aren't hitting, there's probably going to be something you like. I will say on the opposite end of the spectrum, though, every week when I'm putting together a stack, I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of X-Men books to put together.
There are a lot. And they're also all titled similarly. So it is like a blur of
light. It's a little tough. Tillman gives a shout out to X-Factor as well.
I enjoy X-Factor as well. Yeah. That's another book that I think people, some love, some love less.
X-Force also I keep going back and forth on. Like, started really strong in the first two issues, got really muddy, but I'm starting to like it again. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
You're so muddy and you don't even know it, is what you say about that one.
Oh my God. Yep. You're like this big bear, man.
Edward Doherty says, what are your top 100 favorite comics of 2025 so far? Great question.
Great question. Edward.
We actually have a show coming up about that. We're going to be talking about our top 1,000.
That's called The Stack, Alex. We reveal about 100 comics every episode of that.
Yeah. When you were in New Orleans, a few people talked to you about the shows that you've done podcasts for, I think. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely got... It was nice being around people who were like interested, and then we talked about it. They were like, that is cool.
What are these questions tonight? Yeah. This doesn't seem like a question. This also doesn't seem like a question. One time I started a new job, and the previous guy left some wizard bags and comics at his old desk. Would I meet the dude and ask him about the...
The question is finished later.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Ask him about them, but he pretended not to know what I was talking about. Why?
Ooh, interesting. Well... There could be a couple reasons. First off, maybe he had secret codes in the size of the panels that he wrote that maybe Doherty didn't pick up on, and he was worried if questioned further, he would reveal that, and he wanted to kind of lean clean from that job and not address that at all.
Yeah, that's a
Or he is ashamed of his nerd a little bit, and maybe he's not as out in the open about it, you know what I mean? So respect him where he's at, you know, and if he doesn't want to talk about his nerddom, then, you know, don't push him.
Maybe he reads the Wizard for the Centerfolds and doesn't read the articles.
Wow, that's an Playboy. Old man joke there.
Not a joke.
Legitimately was Wizard Magazine. I miss Wizard Magazine. Like, yeah, I don't definitely know who are the hottest letterers in the industry, like physically hottest.
Wait, are you? Come on, man. You don't really miss Wizard? Wizard was a great mag.
I don't know.
Wow.
No. Dude. A lot of people worked very hard. I know a lot of people who did work on Wizard Mag, but like,
it was a fun thing to read.
Going for Maxim Magazine, but in the comic book industry, not something that should exist now in any form whatsoever.
Well, I do think the Wizard started it to be, it got that way. by the end of it. It used to be much more of a direct comic book magazine.
Yeah, it
was
used
more
to be
like Entertainment
the
Weekly.
Nintendo Power.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
It started off as a Nintendo magazine. And as we all know, Nintendo Power started out great. You know what I mean? Like you went there for the cheat codes. The you know, like you wanted.
I never cheated.
I went there. I went there for the reporting. Like they had.
Oh
real,
yeah.
I don't know. Where
I went
their
there to be like, how do I pass Castlevania? This game is so freaking hard.
They went right to the source. Right, Simon Belmont himself.
What a horrible night to have a curse, he said.
Great question here from Adriel Moreland. What are some series that have been dropped from the stack but you kept reading independently?
Great question. I have a bone to pick about this very topic.
Will that be addressed in this week's stack?
In this week's The Stack, but a little preview. It's the book The Flash, which has been dropped from our stack, but I
which I've been very
it.
Happy about. Very much enjoying that.
Yes,
so enjoy it being dropped.
Do you want the answer of why I dropped it from the stack?
Yes. Yes, I do, Alex. Here in front of all of us.
Well, because I tend to drop things from the stack. There's a lot of things I drop from the stack that I really like, but generally you guys don't like, and then we have a discussion where I'm like, here's where I really like this book, and you guys are like, all right. And that, to me, is not good for the podcast. Similarly, frankly, we've been getting that for The Flash, where you talk about really liking it.
Me.
And then me and Pete say the same thing over and over and over again. And again, I think, like, there's a place to talk about the stuff, but if we're getting the same discussion repeatedly, personally, I don't think is as interesting for a review show. We should be adding something new, adding something fresh. And it's tough because I'd love to talk about every book all the time so we can just give them their tribute, put the names out there, because the comic book industry needs all of that love. But we have a limited amount of time.
Justin, I don't think what you appreciate is the time and energy that Alex puts into cultivating such an impressive stack.
You seem like you're being sarcastic, Pete, but that is a genuine thing that
I am being genuine. I don't appreciate you trying to disperse what I'm speaking from the heart here, because like he mixes it up like Marvel and DC. He's making sure there's a mixture of different, you know, it's not all big two, you know.
What's happening? Something's happening here.
What is your agenda?
What's nice is he creates a nice little journey for people to go on, whether they choose to follow the stack exactly or not, but it's a nice option.
Does Alex's son have a gun to your head, Pete? What's happening? Why are you talking so nicely?
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable with this. So I'll tell you what, we're going to put audience questions on pause for a second because our second guest is actually...
Wow, I love a mid-audience questions break.
Here's my audience question. When are we going to bring in Ben Kahn? The answer is right now. Ben,
Hey, everyone. So sorry about that. But
it's one of those days, bro. It's cool.
Pete was late, too, and now he's the late one on the podcast.
As Limp Bizkit, I think, said, it's just one of those days.
You have permission to just tear into me. Like, you get to take all that and just... Like, now I get to be...
Ben, very unprofessional, man. What the F, dude? We're trying to run a show here. We're trying to support you. I mean,
I deserve this. I deserve this.
Ben, eating up his criticism.
It's great to have you, man.
Let's talk about Mr. Muffin's Defender of the Stars, which is in stores tomorrow from Oni Press. Adorable book, like we were saying earlier on the show. Very fun. About a corgi who gets magic space powers and fights in an intergalactic war...
Say corgi, because I think all corgis can do that.
I mean, that was kind of going to be my question, is was there any choice other than corgi for this book?
Great question.
I mean, during the course of my research, I found out that all corgis can shoot lasers.
It's true.
So if you haven't seen your corgi do it, you just haven't trained it well enough to do that.
Right. The time hasn't come.
It's interesting you say that, because legally Laser Cats was going to be Laser Corgis, but then they couldn't do it because they didn't want to reveal the corgi secret. So they legally had to change it to cats. But now,
very, very litigious big corgi.
Yeah,
big corgi. Because of the queen, R.I.P.
That was always kind of in my head from the beginning, was that it was a corgi. I think if it was one of those, really capable and responsible dog breeds, like if a German Shepherd or Husky gets powers to save the world, it's like, oh, that's a Husky. It can pull sleds. It's got this.
Yeah.
Like little Corgi pops up, like with its tiny little legs to save the world. I think that was the right contrast that I was looking for.
I will say I have recently gotten a dog, and so I'm at a dog park a lot. And corgis as animals don't make sense. They are insane. No. It's unbelievable.
My favorite is anytime it's like a something corgi mix, because it just looks like a corgi is in trying to like disguise itself.
Yeah, exactly. It's really funny. Corgi in a little fur coat.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Stray Bullet shout out Cowboy Bebop as a nice corgi reference as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, yeah, I grew up with Cowboy Bebop, so.
Now, there it is. That's the real reason.
Anything else.
Yeah.
Now, well, my question for you, Ben, was, is there a corgi in your life? Because is there a Mr. Muffins in your life that really was the direct?
There is. Well, let me grab. I don't have a dog.
Oh. What is he grabbing?
What's he grabbing then?
Yeah. This is going to be a trial. This is going to be.
There it is.
Oh, come on.
I've got an orange and white cat that's about the size of a corgi.
Yeah, it's kind of corgi-esque.
Corgi, and he is my personal Mr. Muffins. He is not one for adventures, but he does give me my inspiration when I just need a really cute thing to do something cute.
Cuteness overload, lowering. Need
what did you say
refresh.
The cat's name was? I'm sorry, I didn't.
Blargy. It is a nonsense word that has no meaning other than it is very fun to say out loud.
It sounds like corgi a little bit.
Honestly, it was a name that me and my partner had originally picked out for a theoretical corgi, but then we're coming away from the cat shelter. We're like, I don't know, he's big enough. He's the right color. Seems friendly enough. Let's give him the corgi name.
A corgi adjacent cat. Perfect choice.
Other than the corgi, there's a lot more going on in this book with the alien invasion. You got some stuff going on in Earth. There's also a journey for our main human character to really come to understand their own place in the universe. What was important thematically for you to capture in this book?
So, and this is really where my cat comes in, is that kind of that theme kind of coalesced around responsibility. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, especially, you know, Ruben's, he's 11, so he's starting to be that age where he still feels very much just like a kid who wants to mess around, but some actual responsibilities are starting to kind of be expected of him. And, you know, I kind of got Blargy not long before I started writing this, and that was definitely teaching me all about, you know, not that's not just all belly rubs and pets, that there's responsibility, that you know, taking care of a pet, you know, you owe it to the pet when you bring it into your life. So I'm interrupting you now.
Well, no, I want you to finish and be able to finish your thought. I don't want to cut you off if you had something else to say.
Stop being so polite. Just ask your question, Pete.
Were you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, great. Yes, I'm just making sure. Anyways, So
sorry, Pete. I was making a point actually. If you could pause for a second.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
My point was, Pete, if you could ask your question.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. So what's nice is in this book, you have like this kind of adorable kid. And I think a lot of times when you have a story, sometimes it kind of makes sense as you're reading, like why they would pick this certain age or this certain kind of kid for this adventure. And I really think the kid connection with the younger alien makes so much sense. You know, when they're talking about their names and Ruben is like, my dad named me after his favorite sandwich, and the alien laughs, like that was such a great connecting moment. I just wanted to kind of know a little bit about your process. First off, I just wanted to compliment your writing. It's very funny and very enjoyable. But like, what was the kind of germ of this story, if you will? Was it this kind of like alien kid connection where, like, you know, kind of going through similar things but on different worlds type of thing? Or what was the original germ of this?
The original germ of like the whole book is just, what if Star Wars but corgi?
Oh, nice.
A dream we've all had.
Great elevator pitch, my man.
What if Goku was a corgi instead? But no, you're exactly right. Giving them that kind of, I wanted the, you know, Ruben, our main human, and Lieutenant Kasara, our teenage alien character, to kind of have that backstory that was had that commonality but different. So Kasara, very much kind of a refugee who has lost her world, and Rugen, who is more the child of immigrants, and him learning that that his heritage is something to be valued and not ignored as part of his arc. But both in that way that they both have this deep experience or relationship to where they came from and where they're at, that like, that just gives them that place that they can really start to build bonds in the book, where they can kind of become this these close friends after, you know, the book begins with our alien crashing and stealing your dog.
Also, I mean, this is a broader question. We've talked about this here before on the show, but like, what is important to capture when you're writing a book for 11-year-olds that's maybe different from writing for 8-year-olds or 14-year-olds?
I think maybe about 11-year-olds, I think you're really at an age where, and this was very much my approach to writing it, I think, yeah, you have to make things, you know, age appropriate. This is not an age where you're doing, you know, swears or heavy violence, but this is not an age where you need to dumb things down. You don't need to talk down to your audience. I think at that age, yes, you know, use common sense to know what's appropriate, but I went into this with being like, you know what, they don't need their hand held. Even at that age, this is an audience that I can trust to understand jokes, understand character arcs, understand like the ins and outs of the plot. So I would say is just at that age, you know, have faith in your audience. They can understand a story just as well as an adult audience by that age.
And what about, like you said, you're dealing with the theme of friendship. There was certainly a point when I was wondering when maybe you were going to go for some sort of romance or burgeoning romance thing. Was there any thought about going in that direction, or was it always just a friendship type thing?
It was always, no. There was really never a romance, not between those two characters. Yeah. No, I always kind of envisioned them as having more of a older sister, little brother type of relationship by the end.
I wanted to ask you about the art. Obviously, that was not you. It was Giorgio Brooks. But that is so important in terms of capturing the aliens and the space, of course, but also just the corgi, Mr. Muffins himself. So what was the back and forth like there? What was important to capture visually?
Yeah, I mean, so much was just as soon as I saw Giorgio's art, I'm like, this is it. This is the style I've been envisioning the story in. Let's go. And God, did he just go above and beyond? Like that page where the ship, where you first see Planet Voltaria, and Giorgio just designed these incredible multicolored forests of giant mushrooms. Like that wasn't in the script. Cool. I just had the script Alien World, and he's the one who you know, gives it the fills it with like the pink skies. And all that. So he just gave it so much life and coming up with all these crazy, fun alien designs, like especially this is all Giorgio, the axolotl influence in Lieutenant Kasara.
Yeah.
I think that was the character where we ended up doing the most designs. That was the character we took a while, like the longest to just kind of really nail down. And it's funny because I think the initial design was more had like introduced like some of the axolotl ideas. Then we moved away to some different kinds of designs and ended up coming back to the axolotl in the end, which is where we kind of finalized the character.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's so the art is so joyful and playful, and I think it just echoes the writing like Pete was talking about, and the literal corginess, the puppiness of the book and the story. Like it's such a nice package.
Yeah, the vibe jumps off the page for real. Yeah. It's great.
All
it's
credit great to Giorgio for drawing a dog that makes me go, that made me go like, oh.
Thank you for reenacting that. That was beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, it happens all the time, I bet.
Yes.
Every time you crack the book.
Live look at me with every new page and color.
Given the book is coming out tomorrow, do you have any plans to, you know, put on your sunglasses and put on your baseball cap and head out to the store? So you don't get recognized, to be clear.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Of course. I wouldn't get mobbed. I mean, there's a lot of like, happy course. Dog yeah. owners out there.
Yeah.
I go to the dog park and they're just, you know, they're just throwing milk bones at my feet.
And you're like, I don't eat these. I don't even have a dog.
You're like, I have a cat. Thank you.
No. So one event that I'm excited for is that I'll be at Books of Wonder on February 11th. So they have a special link where you can pre-order a signed and personalized copy on the Books of Wonder of NYC oh, awesome. Website.
Cool. But,
yes, no, my comp copies for conventions haven't arrived yet, so I need to be rushing out tomorrow, if only to have like someone on my bookshelf. My yeah. mom has her copy. My mom's copy arrived this afternoon. Man. She was texting me photos, so I still need to get a copy now.
Yeah.
Well, as long as mom's taken care of, you know.
Exactly. That's the important part. Well, listen, Ben, the book is great. Before I let you go, congrats. Is there, obviously this is the big thing on your mind right now, but is there anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, if you want to hear me on doing some more podcasts, I'm on a weekly horror movie review podcast called Progressively Horrified with Jeremy Whitley and Emily Martin. So, yeah, Progressively Horrified, new episodes every Friday. Awesome. And thank you so much for having me on to talk, Mr. Muffins.
Congrats. It's a great
book. So much, especially and the biggest apologies for my tardiness.
No, never.
It's cool. You're right on time. So yeah, all exactly. good.
It's very so corgi-like much. To be late, you know. Show up when they're needed.
Exactly. Right on time. Thank you, Ben. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Take care.
Later, Ben.
All right. Once again, the book is called Mr. Muffin's Defender of the Stars. It's out tomorrow from Odie Press. Definitely check it out. And we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia.
Oh, is that next?
That is next.
I thought we were going to go back to audience questions. You paused it. I thought maybe we were in case
should we
somebody
go back?
Else...
We'll do very quick. Very quick
just
audience
see if
questions.
Anybody else had any more
yeah,
questions.
We did have a couple
lot
of others.
Corgi talk.
Well, here's corgi. One. Actually, Pete, since you wanted a question, this is one I assume specifically for you from Hartford... 1988 over on Twitch. Who would you date, marry, or spend one night with of these three? Ted Lasso, Roy Kent, Jamie Tart.
Oh Ooh. My God. That's the triumphant right there. I mean, that's the three. Well, so what are my choices? Marry.
Have you never heard of this before?
Well, what's this game?
Well, no, I mean, there's other versions of this gentleman.
But I think it's all the one
it's
thing.
All the same thing. It's whether you're saying it cleanly or not.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
In this case, it's date, marry, or spend one night with. And to be clear, they don't say this, but it is a sexual night.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Geez. I guess to go marry Ted Lasso,
of course.
Date Roy Kent, and then one night with Jamie Tart.
Wow. Okay, nice. Rebecca.
Nice. Wow. Pete's heart grew three times. Strabola asks, what is Justin Schur? I'm repping the Adirondack State Park.
Oh, yeah, dude. Get it.
Upstate's finest.
Oh, man.
This is from Michael T. Can the Stack podcast be 4 hours long to allow for more books? Potentially, it could
Michael
be.
Michael T., what are you trying to do right now,
bro? I'll challenge
Whose side
I've
are
said
you
this
on?
Before. But see if you can identify the point of the stack when Pete goes to sleep.
It happens every week, and it's a little different, but it's also a little the same.
Listen, the stack sometimes creeps bigger and bigger, and you know, we do a lot of podcasts on one night, and it gets later and later in the evening, and you know, I try to chug as much Mountain Dew as I can, but I also want to live a long life, so it's a tough balance. I do the best that I can.
If you want to live a long life and chug Mountain Dew, you're already doing it wrong.
Oh, damn it.
You're already going backwards.
I blew it.
And here, we've got one last one from Edward Doherty. My 2-year-old likes the Spidey cartoon so much that he started calling his mom Aunt May. She dislikes it, but I've been secretly encouraging him to continue. Is that wrong?
Wow. Edward Doherty, I got a shout out. I love the tenor of all your questions tonight are very like Dear Abby, and these are the questions we need on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm waiting for.
Yes.
Well, first off, Edward Doherty, the question is, how much do you want to fight? You know what I mean? Because if you're just pissing off your mom, that's it's not going to end well. You know what I mean?
Think, so, is it his wife? Is that what he's saying?
Calls his 2-year-old mom.
Yeah.
His mom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, mom. Yeah. Yeah, let me translate that word for you. That's mom.
Yeah, that's not wife.
No, but it's the kid's mom, which is wife. This isn't a this isn't a logic problem.
I see what's going on.
Okay, let's do a little date back.
No, that's not wrong. I say, especially it's your partner, get right. loose. That's fun.
As long as the mom is not actually upset about it or going to be upset at you, you can continue.
Yeah, I mean, if you like sleeping on the couch, keep it up, bro.
It's worth it. Sometimes you gotta poke the bear. Edward Doherty, she's not my mom. I didn't marry my mother.
Okay, not what it sounded like to me. But I guess we'll see. Regardless, there you go.
That's so glad we went back to audience questions.
So glad we went back. That's it for audience questions.
Yeah, I mean that genuinely. Yes, it is good that we went back.
And now it's time for trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, this is the part we give back to the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, you'd probably go to a comic book shop, you know? Support your
that's
local
right.
comic
if
book
If I ever
shop.
Have that amount of money, that's where I'm going to go.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, all we need is a first hand up, a hey, pick me, a, you know, whatever, and we can...
If you want to throw another question into it, rather than the hand up, you just ask another question, Edward Doherty. Anything?
Well, here, in the meantime, while we're waiting for somebody to volunteer, Stanley says, will you go to Captain America on Valentine's Day? I think he's asking us.
Yeah. Well, did yes. all three of us, Stanley? Oh, yes. Wow, you dog.
Date.
Yeah, I don't play fuck. I don't play fuck, marry, kill. I play fuck.
Wow. Wow.
That's where it ends up eventually. Let's be honest. Straight Bullet says me if no one else. So yes, right. let's straight go bullets. For it.
Straight Bullet. Anything we can do to give back.
Yeah, exactly. Today's trivia is about the award-winning graphic novel Pride of Baghdad and a small nod to the legend, Bob Uecker, R.I.P. All right. Well, please.
Bob Uecker, who invented Euchre. Edward Doherty calling the shot. A, B, A, and the movie's Biodome.
Oh, man. All right. Please listen to all three options before making your selection, Stray Bullies. Question number one. The Pride of Baghdad is written by whom? Is it A, Brian K. Vaughan? B, why do you hate Gary so much? C, F, Gary Gray?
I always play Mary kill Gary Gray.
Yeah, smart.
A?
Straight
Bull
is correct. Yes, it is A. Here we go. Question number two. Who gave this comic the award of best graphic novel of 2006? Was it A, IGN? B, if your name was Michael, I wouldn't have given you the job. C, Marty Myers.
I see. Okay, because his name would be Michael Myers.
Then. Yeah, that's correct.
The guy from Halloween.
Yeah, there you
Not
go.
Not the comedian from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. I give that guy the job all day and night. And Straight Bullet is correct as A.
That has a new comic book club t-shirt that says, fuck. Get it in the store. Get it in the store.
So many of those.
Yeah. Just a t-shirt that money. Says fuck. You gotta constantly explain that. Oh, fun. All right. Question number three.
Wait, should it have like Ted Lasso, Roy Kent, and Jamie Tart Hetz over?
No,
or is that...
no, it should not.
That's very confusing. Fuck. That'll kill with all my dad friends.
I like
cool.
Tillman saying it's a bananas as fuck. That's fun. All right. Yeah. last
the
one.
Comic book fun.
The graphic novel is about a blank who escapes during the 2003 attack on Baghdad. Is it A, Pride of Lions, B, I asked for a dresser, not Chris Chesser, C?
Wait, why are we doing Pride of Baghdad?
Why is that?
Because I like that book and I wanted to give it a shout out. I thought that was clear up front.
Who's that? Is that Tom King?
It's Brian K. Vaughan. Are you Brian listening at all? That was the first to answer.
It's funny, Alex. I thought it was Tom King at first, too.
Oh, my God.
What was the one that he did? One of his first books was...
He did also of Baghdad. It was the soldier...
Shame of Baghdad.
not shame, but something. That's what we had him on the show for that book.
Yeah, that's right. Baghdad Dudes, I think it was.
Nope.
All right.
D, I want to take the secret quiz.
Ooh, he wants to take the secret quiz. He's doubling down. It's not D, but it is A. We'll still let you win anyway.
Sheriff of Babylon. That was the Tom King book. Thank you, Hartford.
Not even close.
1988.
Okay, and if he does want to take the secret quiz, what is the password? You have three options. Because as we all know, there are three quizzes.
There are three quizzes or three passwords?
There are three passwords and three quizzes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How do you even keep
this so complicated?
Whatever, man. People do things in their downtime.
Oh, is the password Sheriff of Babylon?
No, that wasn't Stray Bullet's answer.
Murder Falcon.
No, that is not correct.
Did you just check your notes?
He has it.
I have it written down, dude.
He just flashed
it. Showed it. Zoom in.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That's all the answers. If somebody caught that, we're in trouble.
Well, good thing it's not on video.
We're in trouble. Define trouble. How bad could it get? Be honest with me.
Schlickler's cracking me up today.
Great. Congratulations, Stray Bullet. You're going to get $25 to Midtown Comics. We'll shoot that over to you or shoot us an email. We'll get it over to you. Did you already say the...
Nope. But
man, everyone in the comments is killing it right now.
Yeah. But we're talking about the 1989 sports classic Major League.
Nice.
Edward Doherty, password, is it CH33S3?
That's his ATM password.
This is me we're dealing with. I wouldn't make anything that complicated, but...
He hates
No, that's James Tynan. That was actually the original name of World Tree.
Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak, yeah. Very different book. All right.
Oh, no, Stray Bullet says he's going to zoom in later. He's going to have all the answers.
Well, listen, there's a lot of new comics that are coming out tomorrow.
Maybe my finger was covering it.
What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Maybe your finger was covering it.
I tell you what I'm looking forward to, because I haven't read it yet, Alex, and it's Absolute Wonder Woman number 4 and Godzilla Monster Peace Theater number 3.
Alex's answer. I mean... You know, I have to say, Amazing Spider-Man number 66.
You've been looking forward to that for months.
Yes, the Black Cat, Spidey kiss on the cove. I am here for it. And I'm also looking forward to, I mentioned Uncanny X-Men earlier. Great, one of the better X-Men books. But I also want to shout out Black Hammer Spiral City, number 3 is coming out. The Black Hammer universe has just been ascending in my stack over the last couple of years, and it's get excited anytime that's in there.
Yes, you did take my Godzilla's Monster Peace Theater pick, but that's okay. If you haven't been reading that book, it is absolutely bonkers, pitting Godzilla versus the Great Gatsby. This final issue is teeing up for the cover a bunch of classic movie monsters. That's crazy. Lawful number 7 from Boom Studios by Greg Pak and Diego Galindo. Yeah, really great, really thoughtful fantasy book that feels very timely in terms of what it takes and what it means to be a good person, but it's also fun and there's big action and great creature design. And the other one that I was going to shout out, Little Batman Month 1 number 3 is coming out from DC Comics. This is spinning off of the Prime Video movie by Morgan Evans, and the art in particular by John McKell is absolutely adorable. I like the movie, I like Morgan's stuff, but I am sort of flabbergasted how much I really, really am enjoying this book. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Ben Kahn for coming on. Talk about Mr. Muffins, Defender of the Stars, out tomorrow from Oni Press. Also, Chris Robinson for talking about ODB, A Lyrical Ruckus in the City. Also from Oni Press, if you are in LA, Book Soup, January 27th at 7 p.m. Go check that out. Next week on the show, Hugh Dendrod is going to be here to talk about The Murder Next Door, and Elisa Quitney is going to be here to talk about Hal. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast. Check that out Monday through Friday. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Support this show and all the shows we do. can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. Forever long, they're all around. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah. Pete giving us that MTV from the 90s look.
That's a hint. It's a hint to one of the passwords.
You already gave the answers, Pete. It's over.
Stay warm and save every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.